You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Ad Bosso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, if you believe it this morning that God's never going to let you down, give Him the biggest praise that you can right there in your lounge, in your living room, wherever you are, all over Russia, Israel, America, Europe, India, China, all over Africa. Come on, many of you are talking to us. We are getting thousands of messages from Russia. So let everything that has breath praise the name of the Lord, even there in Israel. Hallelujah. We give God the glory because God is great, and we put our hope and our trust and our faith in a living God who is alive, who is risen, and because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Come on, give Him one more praise as we welcome our TBN viewers, our One Gospel viewers, Facebook Live, YouTube, CRC online radio stations, correctional facilities, people all over Africa and nations of the world. These programs go live all over the world, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people watching. And we can't hope when this lockdown is over to wait when this lockdown is over to welcome you to one of our CRC churches. Come on, if you live in Johannesburg and you don't have a church, then come to us in Witkoppen Road, Pretoria, Solomon Maswangu, and Lynnwood, and then in Bloemfontein, Vereniging Rylaan, also in the north. There is space for you, there is place for you. Come on, everybody that is in this place, the tens and tens of thousands by faith, make a joyful shout unto God. It is better to be here than to stand in front of your television. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, welcome this morning. It's so good to see many of you. Obviously, we're still in lockdown, and a fraction of our people are here, but wonderful to see those of you that were pregnant that now have babies. So when we have a baby dedication, we are going to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of babies. A big hug to each and every one of you. You'll never know how much we miss you, and all those of you sitting in front of your television sets, we miss you, and we can't wait to be together so that we can worship God and change our world for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a moment. Because we're on television, that's all we need. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7, and let's get right into the Word of God this morning. And please, when you come to the building, there's certain things that are non-negotiable: social distancing, masks, and sanitizing. We don't hug, and there's a lot of things we don't do, okay? And I want to take this time before I get into the Word of God to thank Dr. Louis Powell, Professor Keogh, Dr. Cunningham, Dr. Rampai, and all the scientists and all the people that have been involved for the last 7 months. I just want to say to you that we are doing what nobody else is doing to make sure that those who come will be totally safe. I say it on television because it's a fact. We sanitize with a bioproduct with a 90-day surface protection supplied by Juno Gas. And all CRC staff are trained in support and application. All areas, including classrooms, media, bathrooms, are sanitized, evaluated. Listen. During, before, and after the services, swabs are being taken all the time and going to the lab. So swab register is kept. Swabs are taken for testing for specific bacteria and virus, including COVID. We also have special air conditioning ventilation system to extract air and to blow in other stuff. So all the time you are being actually sanitized. The clearance certificate are issued after the first swab. And no shopping center or any other facility goes to this extent to make sure people are safe when they come to church. Okay, so we are never going to put anybody at risk. We fight this virus with faith, and we fight it with science. But we are not going to wait till Jesus comes back before we open our churches again. And we are not going to wait for an antidote or a vaccine, because that may take July, August, September, November next year. Okay, we need to get on with God's business in a safe way, so we will never compromise anybody's health. Let me make it very clear, and we are talking to a lot of people all the time, so don't worry. I stand by my decision, me and me alone. Okay, so I take everybody's advice, but ultimately I make a decision believing in God and consulting with millions of people, and then also many people in authority, etc., which obviously I cannot say. So 2 Kings chapter, and I just want to say this as well, please. What happened to that 21-year-old white farmer is unacceptable, ungodly, and must be dealt with by our government. The same way the government made a decision to deal with gender-based violence when a beautiful young girl was hung from a tree, pregnant 8 months, and stabbed. This has gone too far now, that a 21-year-old boy, because he's white, is tied to a chair and tortured, and he is slowly killed. Unacceptable. I thank God for the Minister of Agriculture, who also comes to this church. You have spoken out. I thank God for the head of SA Agri. For the first time, the head of SA Agri has spoken out, new CEO. So we thank God for him, that people are taking a stand. And I want to say to the farming community, take action and make yourself safe. And don't wait for other people. Action your protection plans in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't like it, I don't care. I absolutely don't care. I'll fight for all injustice. It is unacceptable. This plan and scheme to take out the white farmers has to stop, and the attack against all farmers have to stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And whether you're black or white, you better get the hell in with the work of the devil, and you have to attack it as you attack black racism. You have to attack this as well. Can I have an amen from some of my black brothers and sisters as well in the name of Jesus Christ? This has gone too far. No 21-year-old has done anything wrong. That's unacceptable. That is a clear picture and a clear sign that there is an agenda. And we will pray that God exposes the agenda, as God is exposing corruption in our country. We will not tolerate it. So farmers, please. I've spoken to many people in agricultural unions. There are plans, there are things many police stations are working with. But you know, I take care of my own safety. If you come to my house to rape my wife, I'm gonna shoot you. I'm not gonna pray for you. I'm gonna put a bullet through your head, and I'm gonna feel okay. I'm gonna sleep like a baby. Listen to me very carefully. I said it. Oh, well, now you know I haven't changed. Who flippin' COVID is gonna pacify me and get me to crawl in a hole? You can forget that. It's not happening. To hell with the devil. Amen. I said to hell with the devil. And it's time for the righteous to stand up. Time for everybody to stand up. Thank God for the politicians who stand up. But can we have other politicians also stand up? Yeah. Yeah, lady in our church, I just want to say it, a beautiful colored lady, 52 years old, she was the farmer of the area, and the same thing happened to her. So I don't think crime attacks color. But when you kill a 21-year-old and you tie him to a chair and you torture him, it's a whole nother level. Now, you cannot look the other way. As I refused to look the other way when that young black woman was hung from a tree and stabbed. Okay, that just came out. I don't know from where. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Maybe because it's the message I'm going to preach. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned, one of those cynical people, answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not hear or eat of it." Now they were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die, waiting for somebody else to make us safe or somebody else to change our future? If I say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Assyrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." Good thing about a bad situation is it cannot get any worse. A good thing about being down and out is there's one way for you to go, and that is up and about. In Jesus' name, say amen. Hallelujah. I know some of you are facing tough situations, but it's time for you to get up, and it's time for you to get over, and it's time for you to get on with your recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die. They rose at twilight, go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they came to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. And so they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, kings of the Egyptians, to attack us." Therefore they rose and fled at twilight. So when these lepers came, a shortened version for time's sake, they found the Syrians were gone and they began to eat and enjoy the spoils. And verse 9, they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news." I want to say to you that things are going to change in South Africa. And I'm going to say to you that next year is going to be a year of divine restoration. Oh, you can praise the Lord if you can and if you want to. That things are going to be better. That God's going to turn things around. That God's going to put righteous people in positions of authority. And God is going to put people in authority that will make South Africa a safe place for our women and our children. And I want to include today our farming community. Can you say amen? So my message this morning is, why sit any longer? Story of a great famine in Samaria. Samaria literally is in a lockdown, besieged by the Syrians. I mean, this is tough times. The head of a donkey is sold for, I think, 8,000 shekels of silver. People are selling dove droppings, dung, to eat. Imagine you're a child in those days asking, "What am I eating this morning?" And your mother says, "Dove poop." And lunchtime, "What are we eating?" "Dove droppings." It became so bad that people began to negotiate to eat one another's children. They turned to cannibalism. Imagine that. I mean, people were so hungry, and that's what rained the king's heart, that two women were fighting and they agreed. They said, "Today, let's boil your son, we eat him. And then tomorrow, let's boil my son and eat him." And then a word of God comes. God always gives a promise. Amen. When you are down and out, there's always a promise of restoration and a promise of recovery. And Elijah stands up and he says, "Tomorrow things are going to be better. Tomorrow things are going to change. Even if you can't see how in the natural, things are going to be better. Things are going to change. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a blessing. There's going to be an economic reform. Your husband is going to come to his senses. You are going to get out of that depression. Your business is going to be revived. You are going to get the job that you lost. God is going to give you favor." Come on, somebody just jump to your feet in front of your television and give the Lord a mighty praise. Hallelujah. So a promise comes and deliverance comes, as it always does, from the most unlikely place. You know, sometimes we have our ways of thinking how God's going to get us out of a crisis or through a crisis. And God uses four lepers. Four lepers that have nothing to lose. You know, sometimes people who don't take risks are people that are afraid to lose something. So they're at a place, and think about this, they're outside the city, they have a clear death sentence, and they come to the conclusion, they say, "If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go to the city, we're going to die. If we do nothing, we're going to die. If we go to the Syrians, we might die." They made a decision. What did they do? They arose. They got up. I mean, this COVID lockdown can affect you. Institutional racism can keep you from your future. What is happening in the world, I'm going to talk about it tonight to young people. However you want to taint it, can actually turn you from a victor into a victim. Rather than taking charge of your life and your situation, you become a cynical, negative individual that always finds a reason why you cannot get ahead in life. So these four lepers who sat outside of the gate of the city said, "Why are we sitting until we die?" I mean, the first thing we need to understand is that nothing is going to change by itself. No recovery is going to happen by itself. You're not just going to lose weight by yourself. Your job is not going to recover by itself. We are not going to build great churches for God doing nothing. We are not going to regain our momentum sitting on our rusty dusties in front of our televisions. We have to get up and get busy with God's plan. Can I have somebody by faith on the balcony, one of the thousands in this place, by faith? So the first thing you have to realize is sitting and complaining will change nothing. We all have somebody to blame, right? We all have something to blame. We all can find something in our past to blame. Every one of us. Been through a divorce, been minimized, been rejected, been betrayed, excluded from the team because you're black or you're white. A great story in our church. And I'm going to say to the young people tonight, but I can say to you as well. Craig, one of our guitarists, beautiful young guy. He had 7 distinctions in matric. Wanted to be a doctor was his dream. But back in those days, he couldn't study because his pigmentation, according to the powers that be, were not right. So he studied something else, but he never gave up on his dream. I tell young people always, don't give up on your dream. If you experience institutional racism, be better than the institutional racism. If people mistreat you, rise above the mistreatment. If people demote you, believe God for the promotion. In the name of Jesus Christ, well, he believed what the preacher actually said, and he held on to his dream, and he applied again, and he studied another degree, and he applied again, and 7 years later, he finally got accepted into medical school because he refused to be a quitter. He refused to blame the government and blame apartheid. Oh, come on, some young person. I'm telling you today that if you will be patient, you will get exactly where God called you to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Those are the things that turn me on, by the way, in the ways of God. Anybody can be cynical. Anybody can go on social media and say, well, I didn't get the job because. Now, maybe you're not 10 times better. You see, I'm 55. I meet very influential people. And I don't say boastfully. Been a pastor now for 34 years. I've heard it all. Yeah. I've met enough, sorry for the black white conversation, black people that are extremely blessed, who started with nothing, who in spite of all the odds against them, are moving and shaking, no corruption, to believe that God is too small to get you to the palace. If you have to take a little detour, then suck it up, take the detour, and come back and reform the policy with a good and a great attitude. But an attitude of entitlement will get you nowhere. Life owes you nothing. I know people hate it when I say it, but my kids heard it every single day of their lives. I said, life owes you nothing. See, as a matter of fact, your dad owes you nothing. You owe me. I brought you into the world. You never brought me into the world. So you need to be grateful that I brought you into the world. Like everybody is, somebody owes me something. So these 4 lepers, think about them. I mean, they're busy dying, sitting outside. They've been rejected. They've been sidelined. Nobody pays them any attention. And yet God uses them to deliver an entire city, nation. He uses the most unlikely person who just makes a decision. Let's do something. I've learned in life, when you do something, you find that God is with you. Because God is a mover and a shaker. God runs with the runners. God does not sit with the sitters. When you move, God gives you favor. When you move, God steers the ship. When you move, God gives you the victory. But if you sit on your rusty dusty, always cursing, nursing, rehearsing the setbacks that you've been through, maybe 2 divorces or something, or maybe like the woman at the Well of Samaria, 5 divorces, it's okay. Jesus never condemned her. Just get the right man next time. Amen. And now all men are bad. No, not all men are bad. and not all women are bad, and not all white people are bad, and not all white black people are bad, and not all farmers are racist, and not every story is negative in South Africa. Not everything is a bad, dark, gloomy picture. God is doing great things in South Africa. There are great stories of reform and great stories of blessing and great stories of economic transformation. I had a businessman come into my office this week and he said, Pastor, you know, there's actually people who listen to you what you preach, and I'm going to take his testimony. God just blessed him out of his socks. And one of the warehouses that he has, God's taken his business to a whole nother level. Just incredible during lockdown. And he employed 100 people, specific place in Johannesburg, where men stand and wait for work. And he went and he took them one after the other, empowered them. They've got medical aid, they've got pension. And I said, that's what South Africa needs. People who get the gospel, people who believe God for the blessing. And we need to tell these good stories and stop listening to these politicians that try to divide us and these activists that try to divide us. They are actually farmers doing a great job, farmers empowering their people. And it's time to tell the story of what is truly happening in South Africa. Come on, shout amen in the name of Jesus Christ. Like some people want this country to fail. I'll say it again. Some people want this country to fail. Some of them are sitting in Australia. You know, I travel to South Africa and then I hear Australia, and then people tell me how bad it is in South Africa. I say, excuse me, man, you left. Don't tell me what's happening here. I'll tell you. So they realize sitting won't change anything. They realize doing nothing is the worst thing you can do. If you've got a health challenge, see the doctor and do something. If you have emotional problems, find help. Problems don't just disappear. If you have challenges in your staff with lack of skill, do something. Train them. Empower them. We can all sit and complain. We can all sit on the sideline and judge and criticize. Not what our country needs. Country needs builders. Country needs people with positive energy. Country needs people who see a bigger story. Country needs people who have a different vision, a different mindset, a different energy level. Oh, come on, CRC. Shout amen. Give the Lord a praise offering today. Hallelujah. So when you move, the worst thing that can happen is nothing. If you don't have a job, keep on looking for a job, because the worst thing that can happen is you're not going to get a job. But the amazing thing is when you are persistent and you keep on, you will get a job. Somewhere God is going to open a door for you. Somewhere the favor of God is going to manifest in your life. If they knock you down in work, don't go sit in the corner and cry and suck your thumb and blame the white director or the black director or the male director or the female director and make it an issue of sexism. Maybe it is, but you have the power to make yourself better, to be 10 times better, so that they can no longer ignore you. Because let me tell you, as somebody that have employed over 300 people, you always are looking for the person with the potential and the person with a standout attitude, no matter what the color of the person's skill, color of the person's skin. You look for the person who has the attitude, you look for the person who goes the extra mile, and you look for the person that is the better one. Because you can't keep a good man, a good woman down. Cream always rises to the top in Jesus' name. Shout amen. So we cannot sit and wait for this virus to pass. We've been as innovative as anybody in church, in South Africa, on the world. God's been very gracious with wisdom, and our influence as a church has increased phenomenally, even in regions that we never imagined. Russia. I mean, a month we get over 16,000 messages from Russia And through Russia, God has opened a channel for us in Israel. Imagine that. Because there are so many Russian Jews in Israel. But we moved. And suddenly the Russians like this. You know, some of you think he's too loud. But the Russians like, whatever. The one thing is, I wasn't called for the nursery school. That I figured out. And I wasn't called for the sleepy Christians either. So we cannot remain inactive and impassive. Or passive. Playing the waiting game. We cannot wait for a perfect world. A perfect government. And perfect institutions, because it's never going to happen. There's no guarantee that the next person will not also be corrupt. There's no guarantee that the next person will also treat you with bias. The only guarantee is your faith in God. Moving with God, at the word of God. So we have to be wise and we have to rise up. We have to get the mind of God for our country and we have to get the mind of God for our lives individually. Not listen to the naysayer and listen to the offended brother and listen to the issue-driven sister that is taking you away from the move and the power and the presence of God, because the sister is always issue-driven and she's driving you in a direction that you actually have no future. Leave the sister that can never let the issues go in Jesus' name. Do what you can where you are. You want to recover, listen, your losses. You can no longer sit and wait for God's deliverance without being very active and proactive. They go together. It's like people have this misconcept about God. Is Jehoshaphat, Judah on the battleground, the battle was too big. So everybody says, well, the battle is not mine, but the Lord's, and I do understand that. But that was the strategy God gave them. It wasn't, now just stay in your tents and suck your thumbs and sleep and do nothing. No. God said, tomorrow you still go face the enemy. Tomorrow you get into your ranks. Tomorrow you go march. Tomorrow you put the Levites in front. I will fight the battle, but I need you on your feet. I need you positive. I need you on the battleground. I need you in the workplace. I need you to be proactive. And the Bible says when they began to praise and worship God, God moved and God set ambushments against the enemy. So recovery is always a God part and a man part. You do the possible, God does the impossible. You move at the Lord moves with you. When the four lepers moved, God moved. People are waiting for God to move. No. You have to get a word from the Lord and move. That's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You have to move at the word of the Lord. Open that practice. Do the possible. Trust God for favor while you move. Amen? Otherwise, people have our destiny in their hand. I mean, when this virus started, nobody had any understanding. But like I encourage people to take responsibility for their personal safety, get a gun, go to the shooting range, learn to shoot somebody from 100 yards with a pistol. I don't care if you like what I say. You know, I said to the Minister of Justice once, the previous one, I said to him, we need harsher penalties for criminals. He said, how can you say that as a pastor? I said, because you will not say it as a minister of justice. Yes, 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 yes. You know, the police cannot keep everybody safe. You actually understand that. Their job is to empower you to keep yourself safe. And to deal ruthlessly with criminals. Especially violent criminals. A lot of old military people that I talk to all the time, get together and come with plans to protect the rural areas. I'm talking about black and white people. A lot of things we can do. A lot of things we learned. A lot of strategies we know how to do things. So I'm not advocating war, but definitely not passivity. You touch my daughters, you touch my wife, I'm not praying for you. Let me make it very clear. I'm not praying for you. It's not happening. Nobody ever told you about Jesus. You can die and go to hell. Oh, I don't mean it. There go the people. It's very easy to sit and look the other way until it gets close to you. We need to rebuild this country. We're not going to do it without safety. I'm very outspoken about these things. We need our women, our children, our vulnerable people safe. It's the government's responsibility to keep their citizens, all their citizens, safe. It's the government's responsibility to create an economy where all the people of South Africa can participate in. It's the government's responsibility. No racist policies. Pray to God that politicians will stop talking about our people and then they exclude a certain race group. Not going to open this country the way it was. We're going to attack poverty like you've never seen. That's why I want the church open. We're going to get our business people together. We are going to make plans to reform communities. And we're going to get our teachers involved to get involved in the schools where kids are not educated in spite of policies that have been passed that are not being actioned. We're going to get our sportsmen involved to go train the kids that do not have the opportunities how to kick a rugby ball, how to play a soccer ball in the communities and things like that. We're not just going to do Sunday Christian, Hannity, Shabbat, Hyundai, Sugaraka, whatever. We want our church back. We want our masses back because we have a clear strategy to reform certain parts of South Africa. Are you listening to me? I'm going to sit and just hallelujah. It's enough Christians who just do that. That's not who we are as CRC. Time for war. Time for action. We're a tribe of war. We were born for this hour. We roll over for no one. We stand back for no one. In the name of Jesus, we will attack these devils of corruption. Oh, we will attack these devils of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ and racism. Amen. So we have to get up. We have to move. We have to arise, as God said to Israel, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around. See a new South Africa. See your recovery. Make a decision. Become your recovery. Believe that God wills for you to recover and that God wills for South Africa to recover. Then arise and get busy. Move with God. Move in the right direction. God is saying to Israel, in Isaiah chapter 60, I have to close. God says to them, literally, change your vision. Change your expectation. Change your perspective. Change your attitude. Change your action. Change your posture from being overwhelmed to being overcomer. Change your inner belief from being a victim to becoming a victor. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Change your confession from uncertain to confident. In the name of Jesus Christ, I see my recovery. I become my recovery. I believe that God empowers me by His grace to recover. I will arise and I will recover all for the glory of God. And not only will I recover for myself, but I will share the good news of God's glory and the good news of restoration and recovery with the rest of the people in South Africa. And we believe the day will come that the poor will be poor no more, that there will be enough jobs for all the people in South Africa, and that all the people in this country will be saved. Come on, I need you to give the Lord a 20-second praise, hallelujah, in this place today. Come on, come on, come on. In front of your television set. Come on, somebody shout recovery. Recovery, recovery, recovery. Come on, man, lift your hand in confidence today and say, I will recover. By the grace of God, I shall recover. For the glory of God, I shall recover. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving, please. You've come here this morning, one of the few that are in this place or sitting in front of the television this morning, and you've lost yourself during this time. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe if you died today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. You cannot say Jesus is Lord of your life. Then I want to pray for you today. The only way we can recover is we first recover in God's presence. That's what David did. He strengthened himself in the Lord. There is no other way to recover than to have an inner recovery, an encounter with God who sent his son Jesus Christ. Well, every head is bowed, every eye closed, right where you are. In your lounge, your living room, wherever you are, your hospital bed. Standing in this place, the floor, the balcony, maybe if you died, you don't know where you would go. You don't know where you'd spend eternity. You've not given your life to Jesus. Maybe you served God at one time, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from Him. This morning, all you have to do is say, I acknowledge I need you, Jesus. And just accept the love of God again and accept God's forgiveness. So all over this place, in your home, wherever you are, this morning there's a stirring in your heart. You say, that's me. I need a fresh start with God, a new beginning. If that is your desire, quietly wherever you are, just slip your hand. I want to say a prayer for you. Right there in front of your television set in this place this morning, lift your hand up high. Say, yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you. God bless you. Many hands out of the few that are on you. Pastors in the blocks, obviously, we can't bring people forward now, social distancing and all that nonsense. So if you raised your hand, just put your hand on your heart right now there in your lounge as well. Pray this prayer right now with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give myself back to you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for a fresh start. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. Thank you for loving me. Today, I become your child in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give them all a praise as TBN One Gospel goes. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.